Welcome to the Alleycast, Folk Alley's monthly podcast of exclusive musical performances and conversation. I'm your host, Matt Watroba. This is Alleycast number 3 for 2013. Back in February, the Folk Alley team headed to Toronto for the Folk Alliance Conference. We set up a makeshift video and recording studio in the penthouse lounge next to the pool in the top floor of the host hotel, and then we invited 15 acts in to record and talk about 3 of their songs. Last month, we heard from Ferris and Jason Romero. This month, I'll feature 2 of those sessions. In a bit, we'll hear from Aeneas Mitchell and Jefferson Hamer. Coming right up, it's the Milk Carton Kids. We'll also hear a song from our open mic feature, Brian Gordon. Kenneth Pattingale and Joey Ryan were 2 California-based singer-songwriters struggling along as solo artists when they decided to merge into the Milk Carton Kids. They released their debut CD called Prologue and began what must seem like a non-stop tour. Their popularity keeps growing, especially with the release of their newest CD, The Ash and Clay. I began our conversation by asking them about writing and recording a new record while on the never-ending road.
We didn't really stop touring since the last album, Prologue, came out, and so all the writing for The Ash and Clay took place in the midst of a non-stop tour, which I think informed a lot of the writing, and especially the sort of intensely collaborative nature of the writing. You know, for most of the 2 years between the 2 albums, or a year and a half anyway, Kenneth and I were no more than 3 feet apart from each other physically, a majority of the time. And I think a lot of what that engendered between us came out in the writing.
I also thought it was interesting how we recognized that there wasn't very much time, and so it transformed a lot of green rooms into rehearsal rooms. You know, put a different spin on that experience. A green room is usually a den of self-loathing and darkness.
And pizza.
And, you know, working on new material sort of shed a different light on what that space can be. We got a lot of work done in those rooms. Hope of a Lifetime. That's the track that starts the album. And ended up there very much, I think, on purpose. In the end, when we stepped back, the themes of that song seemed to set the tone for the rest of the album in a very important way, at once hinging upon a real strong sense of nostalgia, but with an intent eye on the future and an intent open-mindedness to, you know, what sort of journey can become. I think that track sort of sets emotionally the stage for everything else to follow.
There's light that's shining now, and a calm wind in the pine, for the fate of a fearsome travesty seems to have forgotten me. It seems to have forgotten me. If it hasn't learned by now where I've hid so very long, I'll come safely out into the silence found in the wake of its passing on. In the wake of its passing on. A Spartan smile and westward stare hold a promise in the air. That's the way they used to find their own way home, by the stars on their own. By the stars on the road. While I pray for a promised land to replace all I have made, darkness steals the light I bear, and the hope of a lifetime fades. The hope of a lifetime fades. from being afraid of the heartache that can plague a man. The heartache that can plague a man. A Spartan smile and a westward stare. Hold a promise in the air. That's the way they used to find their only hope. By the stars on their own. By the stars on their own.
You know, and out of context, I really love that song insofar as it's standing for what we're really after harmonically, particularly with our voices. It might be, for me, one of the most fun Milk Carton Kids songs to sing.
The way the harmonies cross each other.
The way they cross. There's also a real neat function, I always thought, between the verse and the chorus. When we start the chorus, the chords are actually weaker and kind of antithetical to the way that you would think a song might build to a chorus. And so part of the way we achieved that transition more effectively was by my voice, which had previously been higher in comparison to Joey's, dropping down the octave, and we switch places, and all of a sudden there's a richness that's added and complemented by the guitars that doesn't exist in the verse. And to me, it always functioned like, you know, you got a booster in your Mario Kart race or whatever.
Snake Eyes is one of those songs that sort of evolved between us, and I have to credit Kenneth with a good majority of the writing of that song, including all of the lyrics. And it's always a sort of an interesting thing to be in a duo, because sometimes you end up performing songs that you don't lay claim to, lyrically anyway, but they come to mean so much to you very quickly, and then the meaning evolves more and more as you sing it. And to me, that song evokes so many themes universally in the use of sort of impressionistic lyrical style, where you can almost derive whatever meaning you want from it. But to me, it's tackling a lot of end-of-life nostalgia themes that I don't know really where they came from, because we're rather young people, even if we're passing 30 already. The other thing to mention about this song is that it's inspired by and written for Gus Van Sant's film Promised Land. On commission, Gus saw us play a show in Portland, Oregon, where we were opening for his friend, one-time collaborator K.D. Lang, and he approached us after the show and had a two-hour conversation about everything other than music and our music. And at the end of it, he said, "Say, I'm working on this film that I think you guys would be perfect for. Do you mind if I call you?" And we said, "No, we don't mind, but not too early in the morning, you know, not too late. Don't bother us, you know, Gus." No, but so he eventually did, and we embarked on this sort of two-week process of working with him to create a sonic and lyrical and vocal imprint for his film that I think he had always pictured from the moment that he saw us play. And Snake Eyes came from those sessions and sits in the middle of that film.
Swing low, swing low, for to carry me home. In fire, the skies of red. My breath's gone cold, a kiss from the cold, a blanket of snow overhead. So hung all these years down from the heavens above. Thank you. better disguise all that appears of thee. Pray for love from the heavens above, laid in the ashes below.
I remember very distinctly, we both do, the first time that we sat down and played music together. On Kenneth's invitation, I went to his house and we sat on his porch and played each other each of our songs, and the other one would chime in with guitar parts and harmonies. There seemed to be a completeness immediately, even in a sort of minimal instrumentation, which is what we stuck to with just the two guitars and two voices. But there was always a completeness right off the bat, which ironically, I guess, had been lacking in all of our pursuits in the studio, which had ended up with grander and grander productions for those same songs. And it seemed like somehow what we did naturally when we sat together the first time really got to the core of what the songs that we were writing were trying to say.
Well, in hindsight, it's very obvious. It extends far beyond music. You know, I'm argumentative, and Joe's, you know, an ombudsman in spirit. I can't remember lyrics. Joe hears lyrics first. You know, even the way that we write and the way that we process information and fight all seems to be somehow opposite yet complementary. And so looking back now, it all seems quite obvious that it would work so well. But I think you're exactly right. In music anyway, the first thing that I'd ever been a part of that felt so incredibly honest and so incredibly real, that how could you not continue trying to achieve that over and over? We'll play Honey, Honey. The
Honey, comma, Honey. It's important to note. Punctuation is
right.
Important.
And then you always accused me there when we were working this up, we would have a lyric sheet on stage, and it appeared because the title was underlined, the last Y in the title broke up the underline, and the underline extended just a little bit and looked like a period. And Joey always thought that I had made an error and a typo in placing a period behind the title.
Or not necessarily an error, just an odd intentional choice.
Well, it wasn't. It's just the underline.
Honey, comma, honey, period.
Right.
Where you're like, honey, honey.
No, that's not it at all.
Honey, won't you please sing another song? Honey, won't you please be gone? Your sentimental shakedown rattles through my bones. Honey, won't you, honey, please move your honey on. Mama, won't you take another turn? Mama, when you go home to learn, trouble comes to everyone who dares to be a muse. Mama, won't you, mama, please spare your mama's blues. What you don't know never will hurt you, don't you know? What I used to pray like all the others on what you never will. Honey, won't you, honey, please hold that honey still. Sister, won't you show mercy for my deeds? Sister, won't you hear my pleas? Virtue takes a lover, and vice God only knows. Sister, won't you, sister, please let your sister go. Listen to my song. Honey, won't you please be strong? You may not see the ending, but the story's not so long. honey, won't you, honey, please shake your honey hand. What you don't know never will hurt you, don't you know that I used to pray like all the others on what you never will do. Honey, won't you, honey, please hold that honey still. Honey, won't you, honey, please hold that honey still. Honey, won't you, honey, please hold that honey still.
I still don't know what that song's about, really. You know,
that's another one of your lyrics. Of your lyrics, oh, you, I know what it's about.
You know what it's about,
yeah.
But I wrote it.
Yeah,
you witnessed me writing it.
Nope.
No, but you witnessed me writing Snake Eyes. You were there when that happened.
Not the lyrics. The music kind of came out sitting together, and the lyrics showed up later.
Because you were off gardening somewhere,
yeah,
or something.
Was, yeah.
No, I still don't. I don't put much thought into it after. I mean, it sounds like I'm not.
I know so much more about what Kenneth's writing is about than he does.
Well, and that's fine. I do not to say that I slack or I don't value it.
Don't remember the lyrics. You write; they mean something to you at the time, and then you forget them instantly, and repeatedly,
right?
Even on stage.
I think that very fact alone signifies something special about those lyrics, in fact. To me, if I didn't achieve that place, I would feel like there was something wrong with them.
The Milk Carton Kids, thanks so much for stopping by Folk Alley. We love your music over here, and we'll keep playing it as long as you keep making it.
Well, thanks for having us,
Matt.
That was great. Thank you very much.
That's the Milk Carton Kids, recorded live at the 2013 Folk Alliance Conference in Toronto. To hear the songs again, watch the videos, or hear the interview, head over to folkalley.com. This is AlleyCast number 3 for 2013. I'm Matt Watroba. Every month, we comb through the hundreds of up-and-coming artists who submit material on our open mic page at folkalley.com. This is a wonderful way to get your music out to a wider audience. Let's put the spotlight on this month's open mic featured performer, Brian Gordon. Brian practices his craft from Toronto. His first release, Everywhere's the Sun, was released in 2008, and his latest is the Something Ever After EP. Here's our open mic feature, Brian Gordon, with his song, Follow Me.
Of avenues, and oh, I think I'm wise until I fall, and that is all I've got to think about, and oh, I think I'm fine until my eyes don't have another pair to look upon, and your lips say it's okay, but my mind knows you'll day, and your lips say it's alright. My mind says, let my heart fall from my eyes. You know that my love for you, my love is true, and nothing could be stronger, but though my love is strong, if you go on, my heart will only beat a little longer. I can see through these precious few last hours with you. Oh, it's getting hard to breathe. Hold me one last time. Hold your heart in mine. Hold me close, baby, I can hardly breathe. And your lips say it's okay, but my mind knows you'll only be here another day. And your lips say it's alright. My mind says, let my heart fall from my eyes. night and your lips say it's alright. My mind says let my heart fall from my eyes.
That's Follow Me from our open mic feature, Brian Gordon. Hear more of his music at the open mic section at folkalley.com. Are you a songwriter or performer of traditional music who'd like to bring your music to a wider audience? Consider heading over to folkalley.com and submitting your best material to open mic. You might just be our next open mic feature. This is Matt Wotroba. Anais Mitchell seems to gravitate toward big conceptual projects. An accomplished solo singer and songwriter, her latest endeavor is a team effort with the multi-talented Jefferson Hamer. This time they turn their attention to the child ballads, the oldest of our known folk songs. Some of the songs on this new CD, Child Ballads, have been around for 500 years or more. I sat down with Anais and Jefferson at this year's Folk Alliance Conference for a chat about these musical gems and to hear their 21st century take on some of the songs that form the foundation of the music we love.
We first started working on the child ballads up at Anais' house in Vermont one winter, and we were listening to Martin Carthy's album Crown of Horn, and we just decided that we wanted to work on some of those songs and try to make them our own in the sense that we could sing them and we knew what all the words meant and they all felt comfortable coming out of our mouths. Willie's Lady, for those of you who haven't heard it before, has got one of the most fantastic plots of any song I've heard. It starts out with a king, Willie, and he marries a bride from over the sea and he brings her home, but his mother doesn't approve of his choice. She doesn't like his new bride, and it just so happens that she's also a witch. So as punishment, as in fact incentive to get Willie to break up with his bride and get someone new, she casts a spell on her that she'll become pregnant forever and never be able to deliver the child. So Willie tries to bribe her into breaking the spell. He tries to bribe her with a horse. He tries to bribe her with a golden girdle, and she doesn't take these bribes. So his new wife from her bower where she lies in pain, pregnant, eternally pregnant, has this cunning plan whereby they're going to trick Willie's mother into giving up the details of the spell. And the way they trick her is that they make a fake baby out of wax and they give it two eyes of glass and they throw a christening party. And then they sort of show this mannequin of a baby to Willie's mother, and she's so angry and so confused as to how this birth could have happened that she spits out the details of the spell, and they go and break it for real, and it ends Hollywood style with her bearing him a baby son.
bearded one, and he's gone there as a begging son. Says Machulo has this fine noble steed, the likes of which you have never seen. And at every part of this horse's mane, there's hanging 50 silver bells and 10. Hanging 50 bells and 10. This goodly gift shall be your own. If back to my own true love you'll turn again, so she might bear her baby son. Oh, of the child she'll never lie to be, nor from my curse will she e'er be free. But she will die, and she will turn to clay, and you will wed with another maid. And sighing says this weary man, as back to his own true love he's gone again, I wish my life was at an end. King Willie back to his mother he did run, and he's gone there as a begging son. Says my true love has this fine golden girdle set with jewels all about the middle. And at every part of this girdle's hem, there's hanging 50 silver bells and 10. Hanging 50 bells and 10. This goodly gift shall be your own. If back to my own true love you'll turn again, so she might bear her baby son. Oh, of a child she'll never lie to be, no, from my every free, but she will die, and she will turn to clay, and you will wed with another maid. And sighing says this weary man, as back to his own true love he's gone again, I wish my life was at an end. And up and spoke his noble queen, and she has told King Willie of a plan, how she might bear her baby son. It is to nurse, and you must make two eyes of glass, and ask your mother to the christening day, and you must stand there close as you can be, so you might hear what she does say. King Willie, he's gone down to the marketplace, and he has bought a ball of wax, and he has shaped it as a babe it is to nurse, and he has made two eyes of glass. He asked his mother to the christening day, and he has stood there so he might hear what she does say. And how she spat and how she swore, she spied the babe where no babe could be before. She spied the babe where none could be before. Upon, great other blessings then upon.
for me, what I love about the ballads is these images that are so ancient, but they still speak so loudly and so familiarly today. You know, like a phrase like, never trust a young man with a black and roving eye. You know what that means. I mean, and they knew what it meant hundreds of years ago. And it's beautiful, that kind of touchstone image that really just gets passed down from generation to generation. Story of a woman, the heroine of the story, who's riding off to try to save her man from being hanged. And it sort of comes out that he's being put on trial and being punished for poaching. There's an element of these people are poor and he's shot this deer that he wasn't supposed to shoot, and there's an injustice there. And so she's riding off to save him. She appeals to the townspeople in the square outside of the courthouse, and she appeals to the judge and the jury. And then there's this cruel judge, who sees her plight and is completely unfeeling and almost mocks her, saying, well, your Geordie will hang in a chain of gold, in a silver chain, and he'll be laid in a beautiful coffin for your six sons to carry. And the rage of this woman at the end of the song is very powerful.
Well,
Well, the modern age offers, you know, the opportunity to do some pretty high-tech recording stuff where Jefferson could have laid his guitar down one day and then I laid mine down the next day and then I sing my part the next day. And you can control all the variables that way. But what we did was we wanted to play and sing together live in the studio at the same time. So we were able to do that without overdubbing and without putting headphones on. And it helped us, I think, to really get in the headspace of the songs. And there's something really magical and fun about singing them in close harmony almost throughout the entire song. It's almost as though we're engaged in this little ritual of the singing of the song together. And for me, you know, I enjoy that kind of having some company in the storytelling like that. It becomes less about, you know, how pretty is your voice and more about the story.
Once we had settled on the actual text, the words that we wanted to sing, we had some choices to make about the arrangement and the chords and the melody and any substitutions, where to put the solos. I mean, usual stuff that, you know, all bands do with their songs. And we, with the challenge with these songs, because they're so long and repetitive, was how much variation do we want to insert into the arrangements to sort of generate some musical interest versus how simple and repetitive do we want to keep it so that the listener's focus remains on the story and the plot as it unfolds. Because it's very easy, if you zone out, you can kind of lose the thread and maybe lose interest. And it seemed like we opted to keep things fairly simple, but we tried to keep our variations subtle enough that they didn't distract you from the plot, but they did kind of create some excitement when it came around. Like in Tamlin, when Tamlin starts to change into creatures, we do some chord substitutions that maybe you might not even notice, maybe you do, but hopefully they sort of just add to the excitement of the scene and they don't take you out of the story.
To a man of might, or to a man of means, or who among my children? gentleman shall give the babe his name. Oh, father, if I go with child, this much to you I'll tell. There's none among your gentlemen that I would treat so well. And father, if I go with child, I must bear the blame. There's none among your gentlemen shall give the babe his name. She's let the seam fall at her heel, the needle to her toe. She has gone to Carter Hall as fast as she can go. She is down among the weeds, down among the thorn, and then appeared Tamlin again. Says, lady, pull no more. What makes you pull the poison rose? What makes you break the tree? What makes you harm the little babe that I have got with thee? Oh, I will pull the rose, Tamlin, I will break the tree, but I'll not bear the little babe that you have got with me. If he were to a gentleman, not a wild shade, I'd rock him all the winter's night and all the summer's day. Take me back into your arms if you, my love, would win. And hold me tight and fear me not. I'll be a gentleman, but first I'll change all in your arms into a wild wolf. But hold me tight and fear me not. I am your own true love, and then I'll change all in your arms into a wild bear. But hold me tight and fear me not. Change all in your arms into a lion bold, but hold me tight and fear me not, and you will love your child. At first he changed all in her arms into a wild wolf. She held him tight and feared him not. He was her own true love. And then he changed all in her arms into a wild bear. She held him tight and feared him not. Was her husband dear, and then he changed all in her arms into a lion bold. She held him tight and feared him not, the father of her child. And then he changed all in her arms into a naked man. She's wrapped him in her coat so warm, and she has brought him home.
Many of the versions of Tamlin that we listen to, the story goes on. It's a long story, and it's revealed that the reason Tamlin has been turned into this supernatural creature is that he's under a curse by the fairy queen. And then there's a whole sort of chapter or act involving the fairies and what Janet has to do in order to get him back from the fairies. And part of it is her holding on to Tamlin as he changes into these fearsome creatures. But it goes on from there. It was sort of a big move, I guess, for us to excise the fairies from our version of Tamlin. We started to go down that road, and then we thought the story worked without them and almost became more of a psychological parable. I guess it felt like something that we could, as Americans, really stand in our shoes and sing, and it felt natural to our kind of culture as well. I And we have so many resources now, you know. We have the child books, and then we also have iTunes and the internet, and it's easy to look up any ballad that you want and hear 12 different versions back to back with different melodies and different lyrics. So the research has become easier, I think.
I can't tell you how excited I am to think that in 5 centuries from now, people will be using your versions as source material maybe and still singing these great old songs.
So are we. That would be the ultimate, you know.
Thank you so much for dropping by, you guys. This is great work.
Thanks so much for having us.
That interview and song session with Anais Mitchell and Jefferson Hamer was recorded at this year's Folk Alliance Conference in Toronto, Ontario, back in February of this year. Special thanks to our Folk Alley team, Jeff Ayler, Sue Bebo, Linda Fahey, John Nungesser, and Al Barthelet for making it all possible. Check out the videos right now at folkalley.com. I'm Matt Watroba, reminding you that if you enjoyed the Alleycast today, if you're a regular listener or subscriber to FolkAlley.com, why not consider becoming a member? Your financial support of the service, well, quite frankly, is the very thing that will ensure its success. Being a member has benefits. Check them out at FolkAlley.com. You just heard Alleycast number 3 for 2013. I had a blast bringing it to you. We'll see you in the Alley.